Very pleased to be joined by a former Toronto Maple Leafs goalie and Hall of Famer, Ed Belfour, joins us on the line right now. Ed, thanks for doing this.
You bet. Glad to be here. Thanks, guys.
Well, yeah, there's so much we want to get to, but we're really curious about your next career after your playing days, that you've got this distillery business, and that eventually you're going to release these whiskeys to the public. What's the time frame for this, that we're actually going to have bottles of this stuff that we can try?
Well, we've been working at Belfour Spirits here for about 4 years, my son and daughter and I. And we have stuff aging in the barrels. We're going to taste it this month, see how everything's doing. So we're hoping we'll have bottles on the market this summer. That's our goal.
It's a pretty incredible story, because I think quite a few people remember a couple of years back when you started selling some memorabilia. And I looked it up to refresh myself, but you sold 66 items. And I got to admit, I wish I would have had more money so I could have got in on some of this auction. I was looking at some of the things that went. I was like, mask.
That gold medal.
Really good. To me, mask, man. Feel like that's that was, but yeah, you got $215K at that auction almost 3 years ago, and you sunk it into helping to fund this distillery. And I wonder what that decision process was like for you, or how this idea came about.
Well, it wasn't easy. I mean, I collected my stuff and held on to it ever since junior hockey in Winkler there, and then when I played for the Sioux. So I had all my stuff, and when I was a rookie, kept it over the years. And, you know, I just thought it'd be a good idea to keep it. And then I had so much extra stuff. You know, when this venture came along for my family and I, we decided together that the best thing to do is, you know, try to sell as much of it as possible and put it towards our new business venture, Belfour Spirits. And I think it was the right thing to do, because we got 1,500 barrels of whiskey aging, and, you know, every test we've done with it so far has tasted great.
How did it come about that it was whiskeys, and who's like the idea to start doing this? Because what I find so fascinating about it all is that you didn't sell your name to a company. You're not a partner, a fringe partner. Like, I read the article that you did in part with The Athletic, and it's you guys coming up with the formula or the mash bill. This is all very hands-on for you. You're involved in every step of this process. And it seems like a lot, man, especially for something that, yeah, is not a product that you turn around right away. You have to wait a couple of years just to even take it to market.
Yeah, for sure. It's, there's a lot to this business, and we've learned a lot. We've been to school for it. And, you know, I've always been very artistic, always hands-on with all my equipment and my skates. And we just applied all that making whiskey. So I came up with the mash bill, did a bunch of research, you know, flavor profiles, how we wanted our whiskey to taste. And the proof is in the pudding. So far, it's been great, well received from taste testers and people that have tried it. So we're looking forward to later this month when, you know, it's coming on just over a year old. Year and a half for some of it, and some of it will be 2 years in the spring here. And that's the stuff we'll bring to market, is whatever tastes best. You know, I'm about quality and, you know, doing the best I can all the time. I just didn't want to slap my name on, you know, a neutral grain spirit, you know, like a lot of these companies do. You know, our products is very authentic and the premium ingredients, so... You know, it's fun. It's enjoyable. The people in this business are fun. They're a lot like the hockey crowd. They like to have a good time and work hard. So, you know, we fit right in with this group.
I like that. The time lag thing is interesting to me as well, because you got these 1,500 barrels sitting there, and then you're going to sell it. And what if the demand is just like outrageous and it's flying off the shelves and you're out of barrels, right? Like, when do you start resupplying what you've got and then waiting the couple of years to sell it again?
Well, that's a good question. So what we've been doing lately is getting ready to put down more barrels. And our plan is to put another 4,500 barrels aging, and you know, that way we can spread it out so we never run out.
So
that's the idea.
So do you take it to, like, what's the process in terms of finding out how it's going to pass or how it's going to be received? Because as much as you guys have taken the courses, and I'm sure that you have consulted other people in the industry, do you take it to, like, not a festival, but do you take it to different tasting competitions or things along those lines before releasing it? Like, what's the step in terms of you figuring out that this is the product that you want to take to market?
Yeah, so later this month, when we taste test everything we have, we'll select what we think is the best. And then, you know, we have some judges that are coming in to taste for us. And they won't know which ones they're tasting, but they'll tell us what they like the best. And then based off that, we'll end up putting that product in some of these competitions across the country.
So, okay, yeah, the experts are the experts, and they have experience, and of course, yeah, they're coming from a different background. But man, it's your stuff. Like, who has the final authority in your mind? Like, which are you going to lean towards more? If you like something and the taste testers don't, are you going to feel confident going forward with that? Are you going to lean to more towards the experts? Where do you come down on that?
Well, I believe, you know, the experts have been doing it for, you know, some of these people have been doing it for 40, 50 years. They've, you know, tried everything across the country. So we have to go with what the experts say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would make sense. And again, it's still all your product. And you already came up, like you said, with the mash bill for all these things. So it's not as though they've come in and said, listen, this is what we think is best. We've actually changed the mash bill.
No, they don't do that.
Yeah, no, it's still your thing. Hey, do you still enjoy, I know you play still, and I know that you play, it's not goalie anymore. You're a D partner with your son, Dane. But do you still enjoy watching the game? Like, do you end up settling down and watching some NHL hockey? Because I imagine that it's not as easy to come by out in Texas.
Well, I get to some of the Dallas Stars games. We go every year. And then I love the playoffs. That's my favorite time of the year. It was when I played, and it still is. Dane and I always watch it together. And it's been getting more and more exciting every year. We love it.
How much of what you're doing here with the Belfour Distilleries is finding another avenue to do something with your son? I know you guys talked about wishing you could have played together in the NHL, but that you were finding an avenue that you guys could share something and work together.
Oh, that's definitely a big part of it. And, you know, we're both goalies, and it's hard to find, hard to replace, you know, that feeling of playing and all those years of playing hard and, you know, being with a team and, you know, experiencing all the wonderful experiences of being on a professional hockey team that you get. And after we were both done, you know, we just decided, hey, you know, we want to do something that, you know, has a team environment, you know, that's exciting and can be lucrative. And this is a great business, great model. You know, I think you've seen some of the sales over the last couple of years, like Patron selling for, I think, $4.5 billion. And, you know, a couple other whiskey companies sold for like $300 million, $500 million. So the business is very lucrative.
So back to some of the hockey stuff, and again, you are in Texas, and it's cool that you still take in Stanley Cup games, and yeah, you're such a popular alumni, basically, well, from all of your stops. I don't know what Florida's like. I'm guessing a little bit of the smaller crowds, but here, Toronto, you're obviously very beloved. In fact, today when the news was that you were coming on the show, I've never received so many text messages from buddies just saying, tell Eddie I love him. That's all. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll relay all these messages, guys. I'll make sure that these all go through. But I wonder how much you do keep an eye on this team or the affinity that you still have for this market, because I think that 0-4, especially against the Senators, was like a huge seminal moment for like a lot of people that are my age, that are around 30.
Well, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs is a special place, special organization, and it was my mom's favorite team when I was a little kid. So for me to get to play for the Maple Leafs, Original Six, and the hockey mecca of the world, you know, that was a dream come true for me, and I loved being there every moment I was there. You know, you get that special feeling. I say it every time we fly in there, you know, even now, like I fly in and, you know, driving into the city, you get goosebumps, and I get all the butterflies like I'm still playing. I still have that feeling every time I go there. It's just a great feeling, and, you know, everybody's into the game. You know, everybody's talking about the game, and that's what I always wanted to be part of, and you don't get that anywhere else except there, and it's just a special, special city, and you know, everybody has that love for the game, and oh my gosh, it would just be an unbelievable feeling to, you know, do the Cup parade there. I mean, I couldn't even imagine that. That would just be just outstanding.
I could imagine it, but that's sadly because I've been thinking about it for so long.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah. So I hope that if you and the family do love still going to playoff games, that this year during the Leafs playoff run, that we do end up seeing you down here in the city. So we've talked a lot recently about Freddie Anderson, the goalie here, because he plays a lot. And he's really a regular of playing 66 games a season. And I was going through your hockey reference page and just saying, okay, how many times did he do that? I was kind of astounded to see that early in your career with Chicago, you had runs of, you played 74 games in one season, you played 71 in another, and then 70 the year after. Do we make too much of a goaltender playing 66 games in a season, or do we make too much of the workload that some of these guys have?
Well, I'll tell you, playing 60 plus games is not easy at all. Like, back when I was playing that many games, the season was spread out more, so we had more days in between to, you know, get some downtime and rest. And you got to have a coach that understands, you know, there's times when your starting goalie that plays that many games, he needs the day off. And I always, you know, had a good relationship with my coaches, and Daryl Sutter and Mike Keenan, and you know, they would give me days off when I needed. And you need that when you're playing that many games, you know, because if you want to be fresh come playoffs, you know, you got to get some downtime in between the games. So back then, the schedule was spread out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, you know, the schedule being so tight, it becomes even more important for the head coach to be able to, you know, look at his starter and say, you know, maybe take it easy today. And, you know, I always liked it when Hitch would say to me, Ken Hitchcock would say, hey, Ed, you know, stay off today. I always, you know, it was a good day of rest, and, you know, sometimes just a little bike ride in the gym and a little bit of weights. That's all I needed. So, you know, in today's game, playing 66 games, you know, can be very difficult if you're doing a full load, practicing every practice and all the morning skates. And, you know, it can wear on you, I can imagine.
And a bunch of back-to-backs coming up for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So, yeah, going to split the load, you would figure, in the coming weeks. Talking to Ed Belfour. Back to the booze for a second. Back to the whiskey. So now, is it marketing time? Because how do you actually break into the market? I imagine having your name on it, having Belfour there, helps quite a bit. If you're talking about Dallas especially, how do you do that?
I think here we'll be fine.
Yeah.
I think it will sell here.
Well, we're definitely going to get together with a local distributor. We're looking at a few different ones here, and you know, we're hoping to do some type of partnership at the American Airlines Center, and you know, we'll do events. You know, I want to reach out to my fans and the people who followed me when I played here in Dallas, and we'll try and do that wherever we go. You know, we want to show our product off and do a bunch of tastings, and you know, hopefully everybody will love it. We'll have multiple whiskeys for people to try. You know, not everybody likes rye whiskey and not everybody likes bourbon. So they're going to have a choice with us, because we'll have probably four different products for them to try.
I like it all. Yeah, before we let you go, but I imagine eventually there'll be some plan to bring it north of the border.
We definitely have plans to come to Toronto first. So we're really looking forward to getting there and, you know, getting out and seeing the fans and meeting the people that supported me there in Toronto. We just, you know, just got to be patient. It's hard to move forward with all this at once. So we're going to do Dallas first, where we are and where the distillery will be. And then, you know, we'll probably move on to Chicago and then Toronto.
Ed, well, congratulations on the new endeavor. And thanks so much for taking the time for us today.
Good luck, Ed. We appreciate it.
You bet, guys. Thanks so much for having us, and we look forward to the Hockey Hall of Fame weekend.